Hey, what's up? This is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 39 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. This one is just wonderful. It's an hour long. I talked to Brian and Andrew from Tales from the Pits, a Texas barbecue podcast highlighting the food personalities and traditions of the Lone Star State's smoked meats. They have right now, as of recording, 64 episodes. I'll put a link below, but you need to check them out. You've got to subscribe. You've got to listen to them. They make me jealous because, number one, they have two of them, so it's great to get the banter and the point of view from both of them. They have amazing guests, and they're going deep into the history of Texas barbecue. They're doing an epic road trip that I want you guys to follow, and going through at the end of August, they'll be going through the South, which is just going to be massive. I think they're going about 3,000 miles in a week's time. No, I'm just really excited. I got a chance to sit down with them and talk about their history and talk about their passion and how the two of them met up and then came up with the idea eventually to do the podcast and the little glitches along the way of figuring out how to actually do a podcast. And they're still learning, but they're doing just an insane job. So I thank Brian and Andrew so much for taking the time. I thank them for doing what they're doing. I can't wait every week to listen to their podcast. And I do not want to forget that they do barbecue pop-ups through Them Cook Barbecue. They cook a lot of creative things. You seriously need to follow them on Instagram and follow their website to see where they're going to be popping up next. It's called Double Back Barbecue. So they're doing it all. They're doing the podcast. They're cooking barbecue. They're going to barbecue joints. They've gone to all 50 of the Texas Monthly Top 50 barbecue joints. So I can't say enough how much I appreciate what they're doing, and I know that a lot of people in the barbecue world love them and love what they're doing. If you like what you hear, please subscribe. I know I have a lot of back episodes that I think you can only get when you do subscribe. Please rate this. Let me know what you're thinking about this. You can check my YouTube channel out at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. I have additional interviews. I have tours of barbecue joints and wood piles and a bunch of barbecue stuff. Thanks so much. Enjoy. Good evening, guys.
Howdy.
Howdy.
How are you guys doing this wonderful evening, this summer evening?
Dodging the storms here in Houston as normal.
What storm's coming through? Is there a new one coming through?
No, we just had rain pretty much all week this week, but it's kind of, I think the last of it blew through yesterday as I was standing outside to get into Minute Maid Park. So everything's kind of cleared out now, but it's been a murky week, but it's kept the heat down in June, which is nice.
Well, that's nice. Yeah. It does get pretty hot. Well, Texas gets hot. So, I'd love to know your backgrounds. So what did you guys both weren't in the barbecue business, or so to speak, and you weren't in the broadcasting business. So, how did you guys get your start, Andrew and Brian?
All right. Well, I'll start as far as my background. As far as my background in barbecue, I grew up eating mostly steam table barbecue, nothing great. I didn't have like childhood trips to Lockhart. I'm originally from New York, so Brian loves to give me crap about that as often as he can.
I think I forgot about that.
Yeah, I moved here when I was about 8 years old. But
it's irrelevant when you moved here.
Yeah,
if you're
yeah.
not from here, you're not from here.
Wasn't early enough for him.
That's right.
But anyway, so I grew up eating barbecue more as, hey, mom and dad don't want to cook tonight. Let's go grab some barbecue down the street. But there were no, great trips to world-class barbecue joints growing up. So I didn't have a whole lot of great barbecue experience. And it was more of just a functional meal for me, through most of my childhood and my teenage years. As I grew older, I got more interested in food and cooking in general, went to culinary school, still not barbecue, fine dining, French cooking, that sort of thing. Got out of the whole cooking world because the restaurant scene's a whole different ball game as far as the life you live or the life you don't get to live, that sort of thing. I mean, I have a massive amount of respect for anyone that's done that for a career because
it's tough. It's grueling.
It's grueling. The pay is not great unless you hit that really top level. You're away from your friends and your family, holidays and weekends, the whole story. But massive respect for anyone that's done it as a career because it's a grind. Got out of that business, and I guess it was July 2011. Took a trip to Austin with my wife for our first anniversary, and had gotten a subscription to Bon Appetit magazine, and in it was, Franklin Barbecue is the best barbecue in America. I'm like, oh, well, that sounds kind of neat. I'd never heard of the place before in my life. Like, we're going to be in Austin. Let's go ahead and try it out. And so this was, again, July of 11. They had been in the restaurant maybe 3 or 4 months, I believe. Had my first barbecue experience at Franklin, and that kind of set everything off for me. Loved it. Was different from any barbecue I'd ever grown up eating. You know, super rendered fat, lots of black pepper on the brisket. None of that. And of course, this was back in the days where Aaron was still slicing, and so it was always lean or fatty. No one ever asked you that in barbecue.
Never.
You know, it was all sitting there in a tray most of the time, and most of the barbecue joints I was growing up. So
it would pop out from like behind a kitchen somewhere on a plate, up a 2 meat platter or something. Yeah.
Right. There was no, you know, there was no asking what kind of cut you want. And so, of course, the natural thing to say is I want the fatty. And so first bite of fatty brisket from Franklin Barbecue did it for me. Got a bunch of it to go for that weekend. And we were staying at a bed and breakfast in the Hill Country. And I ended up the whole weekend just eating cold brisket out of the fridge in the bed and breakfast all weekend long. Kind of disgusting.
kind of like disgusting, kind of great.
Well, disgusting for my wife. Like, why are you eating cold brisket out of a refrigerator? Me, I'm like, this tastes different than any piece of meat I've ever eaten. So the last day of the trip, we were supposed to drive back to Houston. And I said, you know, would it be okay if we drove back to Austin? I want to get some more of that barbecue. So left the bed and breakfast that last day, drove back to Franklin, stood in line for a second time in about 3 or 4 days. And that was the start of it for me. After that, it was,
well, the lines back then were not what they were.
No, I was there on a, you know, I think the first time I was there was a Friday, and I got there at 9:30, and there was like 2 people ahead of me.
Oh, wow.
Which, if you've been to Franklin lately, I mean, we went a couple of months ago. We got there at 7 a.m. and we're 10th in line.
And that was a great day.
And that was a lucky day, you know. But
what would you say the wait is right now? Is it 2 to 3 hours?
Oh, no.
The first people show, like, there's usually a couple of token people that'll show up at like 3 or 4 in the morning.
Right.
Then the next batch is around 6 a.m., 6, 6:30. Then I think most of the people are around 7.
Yeah, if you're not in line, especially on a weekend, if you're not in line by 8:30 or so, you stand a good chance of not getting any food at that point.
The catch to that is that if you get there at 8:30, you're going to eat so much later than after they open, you might as well get there earlier. Literally, the wait's the same.
Oh, we poor connection. Let's take a time out.
No, I think it was okay.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll.
Thank you. Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. Anytime you do that, yeah, well, that'll be our.
Yeah, it starts like.
Yeah, if it goes like this, then we know it's.
There we go. All right. So well, you can do an edit on that.
That's okay. That does make sense. If you're there, if you might as well come at 7 or something, probably 6 o'clock in the morning. 6 o'clock.
Well, especially when you start factoring in Texas heat. You know, if you're going to be there for 4 hours in line, I'd rather be there from 7 to 11 than from 9 o'clock till one or two.
For sure.
So, you know, that's a mentality that we take anyway, but we're also stupid and we'll line up for barbecue. So.
And by getting there early and leaving early, it lets us go somewhere else too.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. So we can then eat more food.
Yeah. So you went twice in one day, and then, so were you living, you weren't living in Houston at the time, were you?
No, I was living in Houston.
Oh, you
but
were?
We were,
okay.
We had just taken a vacation. We, you know, spent a day in Austin, a couple of days in the Hill Country. But, you know, and Brian can attest to this at this point. Anytime my head gets into something, it gets fully into something. And so after that trip to Franklin, it became, you know, researching on barbecue history, on, you know, what I need to be eating besides Franklin barbecue. So I dove headfirst into the 2008 Texas Monthly list, went to all the top places on that list because Franklin wasn't on that list. It was before Franklin had become a restaurant, and just started immersing myself in the whole barbecue world.
Gotcha. So that's, you hit the bug and you hit it hard, which most people do, it seems like. If they try, and especially that epiphany was enough.
Yeah. So it's been about a 7-year journey of gluttony for me now. So.
And Brian, yours was a little different too, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was born in Texas. I have to say that every time just to say. No, and born in Austin and
Texas,
born in
New York.
There you go, yeah. For two snakes, basically.
Yeah.
Get
so,
rope, yes.
Born in South Austin, you know, my barbecue history is mostly around places like Bill Miller Barbecue, which is a chain, not really well known for what
sweet
barbecue
tea.
Is. Yeah, I think they're fried chicken and sweet tea are their two calling cards now.
Gosh.
And then for us, Salt Lick was just this amazing thing that we could go to. I mean, County Line as well. We would go out to County Line back when it was really out on the edge of the country, and I remember the deer and all that coming up right up to the windows there. So it was always it was always an experiential and a family thing, and that's what barbecue is really at the, at the heart of it, is that you don't go eat barbecue by yourself, or you never should, and unless you have no other choice. But barbecue is best enjoyed with family and friends.
I go eat barbecue by myself like every week now.
But you also eat it, yes, but you also eat it with others.
True.
But at its core, you're saying at its core.
Yeah, it's, you know, you go to these places that have park benches and these long tables, right? And the whole idea, it's funny because, you know, millennials are kind of into their phones and antisocial, but the whole idea of barbecue is a social thing. It's always, from history, it's always been that way.
Yes.
So those are the biggest experiences I had. And then my wife and I started, Leslie, we started, I was into motorcycles, and we started doing this competition where you ate barbecue on the motorcycle. And before that, I'd taken the family to Lockhart for a weekend. So we were just, you know, kind of getting our feet wet into this whole, you know, family barbecue thing with my close immediate family. And we started doing these motorcycle runs and just hitting all these different barbecue joints. And it wasn't long. It was right around there. And I had that moment that we all like to talk about, and it was at Louis Miller Barbecue.
Okay.
You remember it, and it was, you know, we went in there, you know, the hallowed cathedral of smoke, the whole thing. You get in line, and the Miller family, all of the family, gives you samples of barbecue.
Yeah, I love that.
And it's just like, it's like communion. Mm-hmm. You know, you stand there, and you have this one bite, and you put it on your tongue, and that instant moment of the salt and the pepper, especially the pepper there, of course, but the fat and the beef all rendered and all at the same time, like, you know, unicorns pooping rainbows and the sky opened up. And it was at that moment that I realized, you know, what barbecue could be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, similar to him in that same way. You have that moment, and then you're kind of chasing the dragon from that point forward. You're always looking for that next high of barbecue quality.
And wasn't there something like, from, I remember, a motorcycle accident that you had?
Yeah, so we were, it kind of gets closer to when we met. My wife and I were doing these barbecue runs, and really nice bike, BMW R1100 RS, loved the thing. And I got hit by a truck about half a mile from my house.
Oh.
My wife wasn't on the back that time, because she was on the back most of the time. Screwed me up pretty bad. I've got plates and screws in my body. I was temporarily paralyzed on the middle of the freeway. It was pretty scary, and I was in a wheelchair for 3 months.
Oh, Lord.
It was pretty sad.
Yeah.
Sad, whatever. But very close to being, you know, I could have been, I kind of T-boned the truck right by his quarter panel, right behind his front wheel. You know, a split second earlier, he would have hit me and ran over me. I went over the hood, into the windshield, out of the windshield, kind of helicoptered and landed on the road.
That's incredible. I don't think I knew that. That's insane.
Yeah, it was trauma center, the whole thing, all of that.
I remember reading about this on his blog before I ever met him.
Oh, really?
I remember reading the story. I'm like, holy crap. So yeah, TexasBarbecueTreasureHunt.com.
Yeah.
You can find that story. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I'll put a link to it too. I'll check it out tonight after this, because I remember us talking about it, but I don't recall it in that detail. And that's frightening.
Yeah. So my pelvis, we won't go into too much details, but it opened up my pelvis kind of like just wide open. And then my wrist was like way over here. And so lots of plates and screws and rehab and all of that to get back. You know, and I am what I am now, whatever that is. One thing that is kind of interesting, though, and I thought it was just hilarious, is later down the road, I had to do rotator cuff surgery as that accident.
That's hilarious.
It's a long story because it's not hilarious.
I'm just joking.
The hilarious part.
Okay, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking.
So I had my hands on the brake when I hit the truck, and it flipped me over and launched me over, and so it kind of ripped the whole shoulder.
That makes sense.
2 years I had shoulder problems. Finally went in and had it looked at, and they're like, oh yeah, you're all screwed up. So they had the surgery, but they actually put stem cells from a cow in my shoulder.
Oh, perfect. So that's where it is.
I have a little bovine in me now.
So he's literally brisket now.
Yeah. I'm working on my brisket.
Oh, so that's so how is your shoulder now?
I mean, it's workable. You know, you're never 100%. And that's I raced motorcycles for 12 years before that as well, road racing and stuff. And I've had some crashes. That's why I'm kind of loopy all the time anyway.
Yeah, that's why.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons, you know. Like a good concussion or five.
Yeah, exactly. That helps out a lot. It pushes you closer to the loopiness that we all have anyways. Yeah, exactly. So how did you guys collide then to each other? How did your lives collide?
So social media, you know, just the shared love of barbecue and, you know, you see these people going to kind of the same places, and that's I can't remember who reached out. I think you may have reached out to me. I can't remember, but, you know, hey, let's go eat barbecue somewhere together.
Because, Andrew, you had a blog too, right?
Yeah. Mine was not barbecue focused, funny enough. It was food focused, but I never focused on just barbecue on the blog. But yeah, we followed each other, Twitter, Instagram, that kind of stuff. And it was just one of those, let's go get some barbecue somewhere in Houston. And let's do a little mini barbecue run. We went to like three or four places that first day. Because, you know, we had drug our families along on barbecue runs for years individually. And neither of our wives are the biggest barbecue hounds in the world. So they mostly did it grudgingly and, you know, were kind about it.
Very supportive.
Yes.
Very
supportive. Yes. But definitely wasn't a passion for either one of them to, you know, go to umpteen barbecue places and travel hundreds of miles. And so,
what was the first place you guys went to together? And what were that little mini run as well?
We went to Southern Q in North Houston.
Okay.
Really good place. It's one thing we like about it a lot is it's not Central Texas. We love Central Texas style barbecue, but there's so much of it now. It's nice to get something different. And they're much more of an East Texas, Louisiana flair to them. They do a really good boudin. They have these really good.
If you get the boudin, they do they call them firecracker crackers, which are spicy saltine crackers.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Really good family. They've been on our show before. Steve and Sharice Garner. Just a great family. That was our first barbecue stop together. And then we also went to Barbecue Godfather that day. And funny enough, and we joke about this a lot. We've been to probably close to 200 barbecue places together, and we've gotten pretty good at timing sellout times and things like that. But we actually did run into a sellout on that first trip. We got shut out at Corkscrew. This was when they were in the trailer days.
Okay. Oh wow.
Well, you know, this is 3-4 years ago before the brick and mortar. So that was our first shutout, but it was one of those, can you stand to be in a car with somebody for a few hours before you commit to being in a car for more hours? So we just did a little Houston trip to see if we could stand each other. And we didn't hate each other. So,
not a lot.
Yeah. So then we,
not enough,
went further and further. So, it just grew into barbecue runs, you know, once a month. And then that grew into doing competitions. We did some competition barbecue together.
Like the competition, like strict competitions or ones that were kind of like the ones with brisket and then the chicken thighs and like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we did two non-sanctioned and then an IBCA sanctioned.
Okay. As double back?
No,
this is actually before the double back days. I don't remember what hell name we were cooking under, but, but this is before the double back days. And you know, I don't either. But we did fairly well in them, but it's a completely different world, the whole competition world from commercial retail
barbecue.
Completely,
yeah.
And
what we did was the amount of money we were spending, and then, you know, you're cooking barbecue you don't want to eat, and you have a lot of barbecue left over that you really don't want to eat either because of the way you season it and everything. And so we were like, we looked at each other and we're like, well, if we're going to spend this much money, why don't we cook barbecue the way we want to? It really drove him crazy. Why don't we cook barbecue the way we want to, and we'll just take it to a bar and give it away? I mean, that would give us more pleasure than trying to cook this kind of Frankenstein thing that's happening with competition.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and I totally respect the skill it takes.
So do I.
It is very difficult to win in competition, and I get that, but it's just not my kind of food.
It seems so to me in my head, it's just so specific too. You have to want to create something that's certain, super specific, and to a certain palate too.
Right. It's a very narrow range of what wins today. And it's changed over the years a little bit too, but it's a very tight window of what it is. And it's just not, I mean, it's not what I want to eat.
Yeah,
it's,
and it's we really decided this after we placed in brisket at a sanctioned event. We're like, okay, we actually did well in this, and I'm kind of ashamed we did well in it because the brisket was absolutely nothing we'd ever want to eat again. And so, yeah, that's when we're like, well, let's see if we can put together some sort of pop-up thing where, again, like Brian was saying, we just go to a bar. There's a bar that is close to my house that I'm friends with the owners, and just told them we're going to bring up some food to your bar one day, and we're going to feed your customers.
That sounds like Billy Durney. Billy Durney said the same thing. There was a bar that he brought barbecue to.
And so, we're now as good as Billy Durney.
So you guys are like two steps away from hometown.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what we did. We just showed up with a ton of food.
Way too much the first time.
Way too much food. A crazy menu full of 18
we had no idea. Not just no idea. We're like, we'll just cook. And we had no control. So everybody could just decide what they wanted to cook. And we had this list of probably, well, we had four different kinds of pork ribs. Four different kinds of pork ribs.
Wow.
Plus chicken tacos with mole, plus
stuffed poblanos, brisket,
sausage.
Four sides, maybe more. I mean, it was so stupid.
And we didn't have Ambrose, we didn't have Alto Shams, we didn't have any of that. We just had some big coolers that we kind of everything on top of each other.
I wish you had footage of that. That'd be so funny. Just at least to look back on.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was a madhouse.
We laugh at it now, but yeah, I mean, we didn't know what the heck we were doing. But you know, that was over 2 years ago. We've since done, I don't know, a couple dozen pop-ups. I don't know. We've done a lot more since then. We've gotten a lot more focused on a menu. We know kind of what works, what doesn't work. I mean, not to say our food is perfected by any stretch, but we've gotten a lot better at what we're doing, and we've learned to self-edit, which is a really big problem that a lot of people have, including ourselves at the beginning.
Because you want to do everything. You think, you know, that's you're
absolutely
into it.
Yeah, especially when you're creating something, the sky's the limit. So, you just want to go head on full force.
Well, you want to have that four meat plate, and you want to make sure everybody has the options that they want. Oh, well, what if somebody doesn't want all beef? You know, well, let's make sure we have enough pork and turkey and chicken. You get way over it. I was just reading something from Aaron Franklin from way in the past. It said, you know, get down to the core and focus on those things.
That's smart. That's great advice. And you can see that probably with a lot of different barbecue joints that you guys visit now. They have a certain amount of meat, certain amount of sides, and that's it. And the beverages,
Yeah, and when we run into one that does larger menus really well, it's incredibly impressive because we have at least some idea of how hard that is to do.
True, that's very true. Like a Tejas maybe, or a...
Tejas has an incredible menu.
Fijis is one right now. Eight proteins and 11 sides the last time I counted.
You know, it's interesting. Yeah, it's so amazing. Even just listening to my interview and then your interviews again with him, it's fascinating. Well, because they both come from a great food background, culinary background. Yeah.
They've got incredible.
I think there's a lot of enjoyment they have with that variety, but it is a grind, and you've got to be able to. If you've got 11 sides, and admittedly they are all good there, but if you've got 11 sides, you want them all to be good. You don't want to have six great sides, you know, and the rest are not. You want to have all of them be great. So it's better, you know, my advice for anybody is, number one, don't even do it, but but narrow it down as much as you can. You know, don't try to do everything. And what we have a lot of fun doing is kind of theme nights and stuff. So
last one. Can you talk really quickly about the last one you did? Like, but why don't we jump really quickly into Double Back and how that's evolved? Then we'll go to the podcast next, because I think people would be, because that's part of your essence as well. Is that?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, the last Double Back pop up we did, we decided to do kind of a taco Tex-Mex theme night with it. We did a beef cheek barbacoa taco, which were just a bunch of beef cheeks that we smoked and confit in brisket fat. We got some really good tips from some really good people in the barbecue world.
Yes.
That really helped us out with that. We did a pulled pork taco with we have a sauce that's become pretty popular called Four Horsemen sauce, which is four peppers that we smoke and we incorporate into a more traditional barbecue sauce. We took those same peppers, incorporated into a traditional Mexican mole. That went onto the taco with the little pickled red onions that we make. And then this man's creation right here, the chicken enchilada sausage.
Yeah, that sounded so cool too.
It is so fun too, but it's so good. We took an enchilada And we took all the components of an enchilada. It has the Mexican red sauce. It has onions. It even has tortillas in the sausage.
Oh.
We take the enchilada, we put it in a sausage, and then for this event, we turn that into a taco. So we sliced it up and put it into a taco with a crema.
Like a Mexican crema and some cheddar cheese. And
how did those turn out? How did you feel they turn out?
I mean, I think it was fantastic.
It sounds so good.
I really do think it was the strongest menu we put out because it was focused. We were able to focus on a few things that we felt we could produce really well. One of the things that we've done since day one that will never, probably ever leave the menu is tater tot casserole, which is...
Thank you, Opie's. Opie's was our inspiration for the tater tot casserole. So,
yes.
And I have talked to them, and our ingredients are different than theirs. They won't tell me what exactly their ingredients are, but they have, it's kind of like that game where you've got two right and four wrong. And Mastermind, I think. Oh, my God.
I was trying to think of that game. Yeah.
Remember that. But it is our version of theirs. And for this one, we went a step further and made it. We put a different cheese
in. Yeah. We swapped the cheddar out for Monterey Jack, just a little more in the spirit of the night, which worked out really well. People seem to like it. It's such a good comfort food, and we serve it at a bar. So
perfect.
It helps soak up craft beer. People like it. We did a Mexican street corn and a watermelon slaw that we've done every summer that we've been doing this. It's a really good, refreshing.
Yeah, sounds good.
And then we do a dessert with every.
Yeah. So he's got to tell you about the dessert because he makes a great gremolata, and it's not incredibly complicated at all, but
no, it really
in
isn't.
Texas and in the summer and watermelon, it's a perfect finish.
Yeah. It's just watermelon, a little bit of kosher salt, a little sugar, lime juice. You kind of puree it together. You let it freeze. You kind of fluff the ice as it's freezing. And then, we make a mint simple syrup that we kind of drizzle over top of that.
Perfect.
It's a really good finisher. But that was what we did last weekend, which was one of the easier from a service standpoint pop-ups that we did. But yeah, Doubleback, like I said, was born out of us just seeing if we could do it. Can we produce a
It was a challenge. You know, it was respect. It was our need for learning and knowledge. And then the challenge of, you know, can we do this? And is it going to be okay? Both of us, like you said, you know, we get really deep when we get into certain...
Time out.
I'm here. I'm just my face wasn't moving.
We got the little poor connection signal.
Oh, did you? Okay, I can hear what you're. Okay.
Yeah, oh, okay. It's gone away. All right.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
So we get really deep into our hobbies. We won't even go down that path on my hobbies, but you know, it's a respect as much as anything else. But it's a respect. It's a knowledge. It's why I like to do sausage and why we like to play around with a lot of the fine dining side that he brings into it, is that we want to make our own twist on it, but it's not easy to do these things. I mean, what people do every day in the barbecue business is not a simple thing. The people that are doing it well, anyway.
Yeah, and on a consistent level, like doing it day in and day out, not just like out of the 5 days, three of them are good. There's people coming out. They're coming out with quality every day. And I think what you're saying is that you're able to interact better with the different pitmasters and cooks because of what you've. I think that's great. You're bringing that knowledge with you, and that also that, like you said, that respect for what they do and their craft.
Yeah. We've definitely developed different relationships with people in the barbecue industry through us cooking as well. And we always preface this with saying, like, what we do is not what these barbecue joints are doing.
For sure.
Doing one pop-up in a month is not the same as getting up every day, every morning, every night and doing this day in, day out. But it does get, you know, we're able to at least talk to them sort of on a business level sometimes.
And get great feedback
absolutely.
From them as well.
Yeah, that's true too. You can gain knowledge, and that's what this old barbecue thing. That's why I like to do these too. Is I hope to at least give people impart some knowledge so that they can take from these videos or whatever they're listening to home with them and maybe utilize it. Because like what you've said right now, if someone's interested in doing a pop up thing, even though it's really really difficult, you can do it. It just takes the initiative.
Right. And the one piece of advice we'll give people, and it's out there everywhere anyway, is don't listen to your friends and family. Don't bring your food to work for free and listen to the feedback. Because free food, people are going to be polite and they're going to give you free food. I call it the American Idol effect, right? And you're going to get to a point to where you start to believe in it. And it may really be good, but if you want to find out if your food is good, sell it to somebody and sell it to strangers, not just friends and family.
Mm-hmm.
And have
That's
people
great advice.
Have no idea. Yeah, if you have no idea and they come up and pay for your food and then still ask them for input, but that's the only way you know if your food is good.
And right, if they come back again and again, then you know, okay, I'm doing something right.
Yeah, no, the first couple pop-ups we did zero social media. We told no one about it.
We did not tell our families when we did the first pop-ups.
No.
On purpose.
On purpose.
Oh, no, that makes sense. I understand.
Yeah, and then, you know, as time went on, you know, as we got a little more confident in what we were doing, you know, we started to put it out there more, and we've been incredibly fortunate. We've had some great people in the barbecue world that have come and eaten our food. You know, Patrick Feegis has eaten our food. Russell Ragles has eaten our food.
Oh, that's
Chris Reed from The Chronicle. I mean, we've had some really great people that have come out and eaten our food, and it's extremely nerve-wracking because we know, you know, these are people that we admire in the barbecue mm-hmm. world.
Even if we're selling food to strangers, it's one thing to sell food to people at a bar, and it's another thing to sell food to people that eat or cook or talk about mm-hmm. barbecue. So that's a completely different level above that of
of nerve-wracking, yes, of course.
Kevin, as you were saying, I mean, the biggest compliment we get is the people that have come. We have people that didn't know us from a hole in the wall and ate our food at the bar and have since come to almost every single
pop-up. We have regulars, and that's bizarre.
That's really cool.
You know, but in one way, it validates, you know, what we're doing. We try to keep a level head about it. And, you know, we don't run around saying our barbecue is great, but our barbecue is not bad.
That's it's good. No, bad. You have to have confidence.
That's actually going to be our slogan on the back of our shirts. Our barbecue is not bad.
That's actually kind of a nice
thing. Better than bad, it's good.
That's nice and simple. So it does it spreads the word about your podcast. And so I want to talk about your podcast because your podcast is so great. And it's so, to me, I love the historical aspects that you guys, number one, you do care obviously about barbecue and you're big fans of barbecue in general, but also you bring historical context to a lot of the episodes. And I feel too, like I interviewed Patrick Feegis and, I feel like I didn't touch, like I touched on a lot. I feel like I touched on a lot that, and we had a great discussion, but listening to your interview with him about his military service and getting injured and how close to death and how like going up in the plane and how it did something to his blood pressure, that to me, and I'll put links to that in this and I'll put links for the rest of my life to that stuff, because I think that you guys do an amazing job and I feel like you're not just trying to become famous yourselves. You're trying to actually create something, you know, that helps that celebrates barbecue and Texas barbecue.
No, we absolutely appreciate that. I mean, that's one
it's
thing
a little
that
wordy, but
it is our goal and we appreciate it. I know I cut him off, but I had never listened to a podcast before we created our podcast. I didn't know what a podcast really was supposed to be. You know, I've listened to sports radio and I've listened to talk radio and all of that. And again, it's a bit of respect. We want to educate people. You know, we want to drive people to these small businesses that are just starting off that we know when we interact with them, we know they're doing it right. Mm-hmm. And we want to highlight them and promote them.
Yeah, that's great.
And as we continue down this journey, we want to share it. I mean, you know, we've learned a lot as we've been doing this as well.
Yeah, we've learned an awful lot. And I know you alluded to Patrick's episode with us, which was, I've told my family doesn't listen to my show, like at all. They don't listen, which is fine. But
yeah, my family doesn't listen. I don't watch my stuff
I've told my family, if you listen to one episode of our show, listen to episode one of Feegis.
For sure.
Because it's a more important story than anything in the barbecue world. And just the Feegis episode is an example of it, but many of the episodes we do, we don't exactly know where these episodes are going to take us. You know, we do a little, you know, back and forth with whoever we're talking to before we start recording, and, you know, kind of what do you want to talk about, anything you want to keep off the record.
And we do research as much as is out there, you know. We have the idea, we don't just go into these cold, but we like to turn them into conversations.
Right, we don't have a scripted list of questions.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the best way. That's what I try to do, too. I like, because it can go off on a tangent that's important. Like,
right, yeah, and sometimes you can go off on a tangent that's just a tangent, and we've had that happen, too. But yeah, I mean, some of my favorite moments of any of our shows are one of those, like, we had no idea that this was even going to come up sort of things. But the show's like just started from our barbecue road trips. You know, we talk, you know, we sit there and talk about barbecue in terms of history, what we're eating, where we want to go.
Yeah, we're in the car, and our first one was when we were on the top 50 list, trying to chase down all the top 50, which we did in 100 days. Thanks to his, he's a master scheduler. how we're able to hit so many places. We've hit 11 places in one day. Before the top 50, but
yeah, you know, I'll need to reach out before I go to Texas again.
Oh, absolutely. If anybody's interested in building an itinerary, you know, hit us up and we can get you an itinerary.
Yeah, we'll work with you.
Yeah, it's really cool. But you know, we're in the car for hours and we're talking barbecue, and we were like, why don't, you know, let's do this thing and let's record it and all of that. And so we started with, you know, I had a microphone. It's an old Electro Voice microphone. And there's a recording app on the phone, so that's what we started. We plugged the microphone into the
just
phone.
Right in the phone.
One microphone in the car with all the noise, and we're just passing.
Yeah, it's passing literally, you know, driving down the freeway, and then you said this, and then I said this, and then you said that, and it's awesome. We had no idea what we were doing. Not that we're experts at it now, but we had zero clue what we were doing when we started it, and we didn't really know what the show was going to become. I'm glad it's taken on more of an interview format, because you can only listen to the two of us talk for so long, but it's been a lot of fun. It's been
What have you learned the most, and what are some of your I know you've done a lot of episodes. What are some highlighted episodes? I'll put links to a bunch of this below. But what have you learned the most from doing this, or what have you learned the most about how to podcast? You know,
there's a couple of things because what we do is a lot of what we do when we do interviews is kind of where did you get started, how did you learn barbecue, and how did you get the bug. We've really learned how people have taken their passion from, you know, from either a hobby or from just something that they started playing in the backyard into a business, and how they transitioned. That's a story I really like to hear, is when you talk to these people that, you know, like Esaul was driving a bus and then he went to work at La Barbecue, and then he got 2M launched, and it just how these people grew, you know.
That's fascinating always, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of these people have really interesting stories about how they started and got into the business. You know, we also like those that have been in the business kind of from the family generations as well, like John Miller. And we'll have other folks on like that as well that have just, I mean, Russell's one of the ones that's been around for a long time, Russell Ragles.
Yeah.
As he got out of the military, but then he had different barbecue careers as he was moving through.
Yeah, it's all these different paths that these people have taken that end up, you know, in the barbecue world, and you just kind of never know how you're going to get there. But, you know, so many of them weren't born into it. I mean, yeah, a lot of the older school people were, but so many of the especially the younger generation come to it from totally different paths.
For sure.
As far as highlighted episodes, Sean and Amy Collins is a really fun episode. Mm-hmm. Pioneer Barbecue and Nixon, they've got a really great story. They bought the restaurant on Craigslist. They were living in Manhattan. And now they're in one of the tiniest towns in Texas. We just interviewed a really great young couple in Waco.
Hellberg
Barbecue in Waco, Texas. That he was from Houston, and then his travels had taken him onto a cruise ship where he met his wife, who's from California. Her family's a bunch of grape farmers.
Yes.
I mean, just these crazy stories. And now here they are
just
in Waco.
Like these two paths that just somehow, all of the timing is what's really what I like about the show. And when we listen to people that have that particular type of story, it just over and over again, like how they have this fortuitous moment in time where what they're doing and then the popularity of barbecue and all of that crossover. You know,
but so many things had to align to make that work.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, Evie Mays is another one where, you know, they're from their timeline. I mean, it was the visit from Daniel Vaughn that flipped them, and
yeah,
some
they
of these
almost other, weren't going to make it. Yeah,
right. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, these places that were like, you know, at this critical juncture, and then something happened, and it's different things for different people. But it's just amazing to listen to those stories and how they've turned that and follow that passion. You know, we have a couple of rules. Number one is that we always eat at the place before we put them on the show.
That's great.
We won't just, you know, even it's hard because some of these places now, California, Toronto, and other places we really want to have on the show. We know they're good. Little Miss Barbecue in Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
We can't do it without eating it first.
Yeah.
You know, because we want to make sure it's the barbecue that we want to promote, but you know, it's
right. Well, yeah. One of the things we've learned doing the show is we've gotten to interact with a lot of listeners both in and out of Texas. We have people email or direct message us on Instagram all the time saying, hey, I'm from this state and I'm coming into Texas. I'm going to do a barbecue run. Where should I go? Or I'm thinking of going here. And so we try to be very careful about who and what we'll promote on the show, because we don't want to give someone false information, especially my biggest fear would be someone coming in and they have one day in Texas and they end up going to some terrible barbecue joint promoted them on the show or something. I never want that to happen. But we're very careful about that, about who and what we'll promote. So we hope people can trust if we have someone on the show, it's because we think they're doing something worth your time.
That's great. No, I think that, and it comes through. What do we have to look forward to? Because I know you guys are putting together some special things. You guys are working on like the history of Texas barbecue.
Yeah. We've got, coming up very soon, we've got a couple. What we like also focusing on are some very new, very small places that people haven't heard of, but we really believe they're going to grow into something bigger. So we've got a couple of those coming up as well. But we've got one, and I can't say the name, but one of the most well-known names in barbecue and barbecue families. And we've got an episode we're building where we've got interviews with the family members. It's hard to put together because of the timing and how spread apart everybody is, but
I think I could guess what this might be.
There's a few options.
There's two or three options. Yes.
Yeah, there's a few options, but it's something that we want to do, and again, it's out of respect, and it'll be nobody's done this, so.
There's a lot of nobody's done this for you guys, but this will be another nobody's done this. That's fantastic. I can't wait for that one.
We're looking forward to that. We're kicking around ideas on some pretty big excursions
outside of Texas.
Texas. We are a Texas-based show, but we're nerds for a lot of this stuff. So we're working on some ideas that would get us out of the state.
Let me know ahead of time. Maybe I'll fly into one of these places.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, we're still in the early planning stages.
Well, California is one of the ones that we want to get to as well. I mean, there's
for sure.
There's pockets of the country, and now that barbecue's gotten bigger and more popular, there's more than just one location. I mean, like I said, there used to be cities and areas where there's a very small number of places you would really want to go, and that's just grown now to where you can spend two or three days in a region and have great barbecue all day for the whole time.
Oh yeah, for sure. That's kind of like, I don't know if you guys have seen, I've been doing those barbecue city guides. I want to kind of highlight these different cities because they're now, because of the way barbecue has grown, there are maybe four or five, six places that you can go to. And I want to make sure makes it a little easier for them. That's great.
Super helpful for people that aren't familiar with those cities, you know.
But also too, like it's what you guys are doing. So what episode are you guys on currently? As of June 21st, you're on episode
58. Is what we posted this week.
Okay, and you guys post once a week. And what day of the week do you guys post?
We try our best to do once a week. Late Monday night is usually when it goes out. And so if we miss it for any reason, it's usually on Tuesday morning. We've only missed a couple of weeks since we started for a little over a year now.
Yeah, we're pretty consistent every week. We did miss a week recently, but we posted like three episodes the week before just in preparation for us missing that week, because we had a big cook a couple of weeks ago that almost killed both of us. So we needed a 1 week break from editing and posting. So
it's Tales from the Pits, not Pit, right?
Oh, thank you, sir. Yes, it is. It is a pluralized name.
Okay. It's a pet peeve because there are other shows and books on Tales from the Pit. Pit being an orchestra pit.
Exactly.
Blackjack pit, a table games pit. So it's Pits with an S.
Tales from the Pits. And then also for Doubleback, is it Doubleback Barbecue at Doubleback Barbecue?
Doubleback BBQ.
BBQ, yes. Perfect.
Yeah, Tales from the Pits on Instagram. We're at BBQ Podcast on Twitter, because Twitter won't let us have a handle long enough for.
It would have had to be Tales from the Pit. actually on Twitter.
Oh, that's so funny. I could have seen that.
But
one letter.
We'll answer to pretty much everything. You know, we've had people call us all sorts of stuff. You know, including on your show. Mr. James Q. Ho was on your show, and he referred to us as Tales from the Pit, so we had to tease him incessantly on that.
That's good to James Q. Now, also, I wanted to know, are there any places that I know that you guys are going to highlight some places on your podcast, but places that people should, that are maybe off their radar, or that places that you, even on the Texas Top 50, that people have missed? I want to kind of wrap this up by giving some people some places to go to that they might not have heard of.
Yeah, you can kind of do it rapid fire by city if you want.
Sure.
Name a city, Texas.
Okay, Austin.
Austin. Whitfield's right now is probably the one. Okay. Seems to be the hottest.
Right. I wouldn't call them off the radar, but the fact that they don't have a line a mile long, Mr. Evan, Leroy and Lewis, I have no idea how their line isn't longer all the time. Just incredible barbecue.
Oh, I know. Some of the best.
The biggest news in Austin right now, they're opening up tomorrow, is called The Switch.
Yes.
And it's a southern location that has just a fantastic pit room, has a great lineup of pit masters. That's one that if it doesn't take off and explode, I would have no idea why, because it's going to be big.
I'd be super surprised. What a great idea! Like, this is opening up tomorrow, Friday the 22nd.
Yeah,
excellent. So what about Houston? Houston off the radar.
Willow is starting to get some more publicity. Willow's Texas Barbecue. He's a food truck in the Heights. Okay. He's at Big Star Bar in the Heights. I believe Thursday through Sunday, if I remember correctly. Willow is serving just fantastic barbecue, and he's starting to get some more talk. Daniel Vaughn recently wrote a very nice review of him.
I saw.
But he's still, to me, he needs to be getting more attention than he's gotten so far. A place that we've both been to now.
Reveille Barbecue, which is just right around the corner from my house, but it's up near Magnolia, between Tomball and Magnolia, which is just the northwest suburb of Houston. But one of the pit masters formerly worked at the pit room and is currently still working at Tejas as he's trying to do this weekend gig.
Okay.
Working at both locations right now, but also Mike Mikna, which is his business partner.
Yeah, James McFarlane and Mike Mikna are owners and pit masters of that operation. And they're cooking on Arnis Robbins built Evy Mays reverse flow.
Very cool.
I believe they're the first commercial one, at least the one I've heard of.
First one I know of, yeah.
Brian's been there a couple of times. I was there last weekend. Really good barbecue. I think those guys are going to do really well out there.
What about Dallas area or up there?
Whatever.
Yeah, where's that? Yeah. I don't know.
No, Ferris Wheeler's.
That's near California.
Actually has a functional Ferris wheel.
Uh-huh.
And there's
a couple. Ask Daniel Vaughn.
Zavala's Barbecue.
Zavala's, yes. Zavala's.
Okay, no, that's okay. You said to go rapid fire, so what about...
It's the Houston-Dallas feud we like to pretend is going on. But Zavala's in Grand Prairie is another one that we've just been hearing. We have not personally been, but we have been hearing some incredible things about Zavala's in Grand Prairie.
And that's a pop-up. I mean, not pop-up, but that's a weekend thing, right?
Isn't it? They're very
small right now.
Right, but they're doing some really good stuff from everything we've seen, everything we've heard. We're really excited to get up there and try the barbecue up there. As far as under the radar top 50, we won't call them under the radar because I don't think they really like to be called under the radar. But one of the ones that wasn't super heralded coming out is Flores Barbecue in Whitney. We just recently posted an episode with Michael Wyant, pitmaster there. He's just doing incredible barbecue out in Whitney, Texas, which is kind of in between Waco and Dallas. But we've been super excited about that. It's not under the radar, but there's a Smithville location of Micklewaite Barbecue that's going to be opening.
Excited.
Yeah.
When is that opening?
I don't know if there's a firm date yet. What I've been hearing is August is kind of the last thing I'd heard. I don't know if it'll be a little sooner, a little later than that, but it's coming, and that's going to be really exciting.
There's kind of a new wave, if you will, of small-town Texas barbecue where there's elite high-end barbecue moving out to the suburbs. I mean, opening up in the suburbs.
That's an interesting phenomenon.
Yeah, it's really great. There's out in West Texas, Blackboard Barbecue.
Yeah, Blackboard Barbecue in Bernie has opened recently to really strong reviews. Every time you turn around, there's something new opening in Texas. It's amazing at this point.
Yeah, so you'd recommend traveling to Texas for barbecue. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, gosh, yeah.
the beauty is you can fly into Austin, Houston, and possibly even Dallas. But you could fly into one of the cities, and you could spend 24 hours. And because some of these restaurants are open at night, some of them are open on Sunday. I mean, you could fly in and fly out in a weekend and hit 6 or 7 barbecue joints that are all legit.
And that's also something too in planning a trip, or if they contact you guys to help them with their trip, is to try, figure out somewhere you can go for lunch and then somewhere you can go for dinner. That way you could at least hit 2, if not 3.
Yeah, no, it's definitely knowing your sellout times, knowing the opening and closing times of places. It can be a little tricky, but if you plan it right, you can get it all done.
You recommend flying into Houston first, right? Don't you?
Houston or Austin?
Yeah,
you know, Austin, as much as I like living in Houston now, I think the difference is that Austin places, most of them will sell out at lunchtime. So you've got places like Style Switch, you've got places like Terry Black and Friedman's, places like that that are open in the evening. In Houston, I think you have more nighttime barbecue options than you do in Austin, though.
And also nowadays, don't skip the sides because there's.
Oh, God, no. Well, it's you know, dessert. Desserts. Oh,
yeah. In some places, yeah, have phenomenal. I've seen some of the things you guys have been talking about, desserts, too.
it's getting harder and harder on the wallet and on the stomach. But yeah, you can get these incredible full menu experiences now at so many places. I mean, we still love the meat market style barbecue where sides are sometimes not even offered, or if they are, they're an afterthought. But it's just great when you can go to one place and get a full meal experience from sides, desserts, drinks often, and then of course meat and barbecue.
So. And you guys have something to be there's something to be said about what you guys are doing, because you guys are doing like the hard work for us. So we really do appreciate the fact that you're eating all this amazing barbecue.
We got tired of eating bad barbecue. So when I started, that was let's just go eat every place we can possibly eat at and find the next great place. And We've got to rely on social media. We rely on our friends like Terry Osborne.
Yeah, word of mouth. Yeah, Terry's great. Yeah.
And they'll go out and kind of scout places out, and they'll say, hey, you should go here. We'll say the same to them, and we'll get that kind of underground network before we pop them out.
That's been another great thing about the show is we've developed this really trusted network of people that will message us, and we'll message back and forth. Hey, I've been to this place. It's really good. You should check it out, and vice versa. And so it helps us know, like, put different places on our radar that we need to get to.
And that's also, too, if someone's getting into barbecue, Texas barbecue especially, follow you guys on Twitter, follow your Instagram, and then that way you see who else is corresponding and connecting with you guys. And then from there, you can follow those people and kind of – you could figure out what's going on really quick by doing that, kind of getting in that world.
Definitely.
Excellent. Well, thank you guys so much, and thank you for taking the time. I know we've been trying to connect and make it work. Thank you again for what you guys do. I really want everyone to listen to your show. I think it's an important show, not only for the barbecue and historical aspect, but also for the entrepreneur and person that wants to start a business. They can learn from your episodes what people go through to start their own business.
No, we really appreciate it. We're big fans of your show, too. You get some amazing guests on your show. We're jealous of some of the guests you've had on your show. So we're definitely going to have to work on getting some of those guests too. But you know, thanks for doing what you do. And when you get to Texas, you're definitely coming on our show, and we'll eat some barbecue together.
Excellent.
So now we'll eat some good barbecue.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much. And if you guys ever come to LA, but let me know too, where, if you guys are traveling somewhere in my side of the United States, I'll meet you guys.
Perfect.
Outstanding.
Excellent. Have a great day and have a great weekend.
Thanks, Kevin.
Take care.
You too.